how many arguments, how many things that have gone wrong in your life wouldn't have gone as wrong if somebody, you, would have apologized along the way? You could have defused the whole situation. You understand that's something we're supposed to be doing? If you're in an argument, chances are you played some part in what went wrong. Maybe a small part, maybe a big part. Apologize for that part and watch what happens.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors with us. Welcome to the program, Neil.
Bob, great to be listening in with our listeners today. And here we go. We're talking about those three words that a lot of people don't want to say these days.
I love you.
Well, that's one of them, but we're talking about I am sorry. Is it hard for you to sometimes say sorry, Bob, when you mess up or you make mistakes?
You're assuming I mess up and make mistakes.
That's true. I am assuming that that's probably... But you know what, Bob? I am sorry for assuming that. But Pastor Dave is going to be talking about the words I am sorry and how many of our problems can be resolved through those three simple words.
Oh, this is going to be good. So let's listen to David McGee as he continues sharing verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 10.
So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 10. David is king, and last week we looked at his kindness to Mephibosheth and how Mephibosheth was a offspring of Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. And, you know, David extends his kindness to him, and we saw that as an act of grace, similar to the act of grace that Jesus extends to us, offering to us to sit at his table. So now we pick it up in chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. And then David said, 'I will show kindness to Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me.' So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun their lord, 'Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it?'" Here we have two pictures. David's not interested in spying the city out. He's not sending these guys in to spy out the city. We take it at face value in that David was doing this to show kindness. Well, let's see how Hanun handles it, verse 4. "Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away." At verse 5, "When they told David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, 'Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return.'" This is interesting. When Hanun shamed these men, he also shamed their king. It wasn't just about these servants. It was about this guy's attitude towards King David. Remember that. Next time somebody rejects you sharing the good news, they're not really rejecting you. When I give an invitation on Sunday morning or Thursday night, and I know that there's somebody or some people or some persons that are out there and they're going to reject the invitation, the thing that breaks my heart is not that they're rejecting me or that, you know, it's not going to happen or whatever. The sad thing is in the fact that they are rejecting Jesus, there are consequences to rejecting Jesus. And when somebody rejects God's servant, they are in fact to a degree rejecting God himself. So remember that when you share. Now, when you share with compassion, when you share when you've been led by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit in order to share and they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting your king. Verse 6, "When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men." Now, here's an interesting thing. Let me ask you a question. What should they have done at this point, the people of Ammon? What they should have done is they should have sent somebody to Israel, somebody to Jerusalem, somebody to King David, and say, "You know what? We're sorry. I'm not sure what we were thinking. We had a bad day. Something bad food, something. We're sorry. We shouldn't have done it." The whole thing could have ended right there. It would have ended right there. How many arguments, how many things that have gone wrong in your life wouldn't have gone as wrong if somebody, you, would have apologized along the way. You could have defused the whole situation. You understand that's something we're supposed to be doing? For me, big rule in ministry, apologize quickly. Apologize quickly. You know, I've been in situations where I wasn't even sure what I'd done wrong, and I still apologized. You ever heard that one? You know, if you're married, every night before you go to bed, apologize to your wife. You might not know what it's for. She'll know. But I've actually apologized to some people and said, you know what? I'm not sure what I've done to make you so angry, but I've done something. Please forgive me. And see, what I'm doing in that is I'm setting the tone, hopefully, for the conversation. Because, God, if you're in an argument, chances are you played some part in what went wrong. Maybe a small part, maybe a big part. Apologize for that part and watch what happens. Because you know what? One person can't really argue by themselves. They may try. If they got a big head of steam going, they may keep going for a couple minutes while you continually apologize. But at some point, that argument's diffused. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. We misquote this verse and we look at it wrong because a lot of us think, oh, if we go to the altar, you know, and we've got something against somebody, we need to go straighten that out. That's not what that verse says. The verse says, if you go to the altar and your brother has something against you, you've got to get that straightened out. That's setting the bar pretty high, isn't it? Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible talks about God's structure, and part of God's structure, I believe, and I don't want to get all into this, but I believe God's structure is for the husband, the man, is to be the leader in the home. Now, I'm not going to spend the rest of the night on this, but what does that mean? Leader of the home, what does that mean? Does that mean he gets to hold the remote? What does that mean? Does that mean he gets to decide all the restaurants you go to? No, maybe. But just realized my wife was sitting in here. Thought no. No, it means you're supposed to be a leader. What are you supposed to lead in? Well, in the context of what I'm saying now, you're supposed to lead in apologizing. You're supposed to be the leader when it comes to repenting and apologizing, being the one to say you're sorry first. Just when some of you thought that leader thing was sounding pretty good. I mean, that's part of being a leader. It means being the first to say you're sorry. That is being a leader. Life lesson here. Many problems in our lives can be solved with the words, I am sorry. Many problems in our lives can be solved with the words, I am sorry. And yet, man, if there's three words that are so hard for us to say, that's three that are really difficult somehow for us to say. And even when we say them sometimes, you realize what we do? We clarify and justify. And we've talked about this before, but not in a while. When you go to apologize about something for something, never explain why you did it, because that's not really apologizing. Everybody in here has done this, and everybody in here has had this done to you, where somebody goes, you know, I am so sorry that I yelled at you, but you shouldn't have done me like that. Was that an apology? No. I'm sorry I did that, but you shouldn't have looked at me that way. Why? Because we're justifying our actions. Say, I'm sorry, period. Never use I'm sorry, but. You ever heard that thing, but is a verbal erasure? And the fact, it just erases everything that came before that. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have really done that. Now, what are you really saying? You shouldn't have done that. You're not really saying you're sorry. You're saying the other person shouldn't have done it. But how many times are our apologies keyed like that? I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have done it. But you shouldn't have, but. I mean, that's not really an apology. So I'm sorry, period. Most of us live a lifetime doing the I'm sorry, but. So much so that next time you go to apologize to somebody, you might have to grab your mouth. I'm sorry. But with training, you can get where you say I'm sorry and then stop talking. Incidentally, can you make somebody else repent? No, you can't. You cannot do that. That is not within your power to be able to do that. So what should your concern be? Your repentance, telling somebody that you're sorry. I didn't, in that life lesson, I didn't say most problems can be solved by saying you were wrong. That's not what that said. Most problems can be solved by I am sorry. Some counseling, some therapies, and I really have a problem with this, they say, well, what you really need to do first is you need to forgive God. Are you aware that's a common therapy thing? That's out? I mean, even among Christian therapist? You need to forgive God. You need to You need to be forgiven by God. But let's take that one step further, because some of them say, well, you know what you need to do is you need to forgive other people. That is part of what should happen. But you know, the first step is you need to ask forgiveness from other people. I've seen situations where the kid messed up and then it's like, well, you know, I just want to let you know I forgive you. Okay, well, what about the woundings that were done at the hands of that individual? So be careful. Be careful about being consumed with somebody else apologizing to you, and make sure that you apologize to somebody else, because that's a part of it that you're in control of, if you will. Now, here's the other thing that struck me. And a lot of the meat in this chapter is in these first six verses. But here's another thing that struck me. It says, when the people of Ammon, verse 6, saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, what did they think he was going to do when they did this to the people he sent to them? I mean, did they really think, well, I know, well, let's shave off part of their beard and let's tear their robes so their fannies are showing. And, you know, and David should be, he's fine. He'll be fine with it. Did they really think that? Obviously they did, because it says when they saw that they had made themselves repulsive, they, and here's a human thing, they didn't think of the consequences of their action. They literally thought, well, we'll do this and it'll be fine, it'll be cool, it'll be funny, da 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 da. How often we do that? We do something and we don't really think through the consequences, we don't think through the what ifs. And it's always beneficial to think through the what is, the consequences of our actions might be, could be, to think things through. These guys picked a fight. They weren't ready to fight. Now all of a sudden they find David's upset and they got to go out and hire mercenaries.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Something else I really like about the ministry is that there's a team of hundreds of people that will pray for somebody to be saved. You have a loved one that needs to know Jesus as Savior. You need people to pray for them. You need someone to present God's Word to them. Every day we're presenting God's Word to them here on Cross the Bridge with Pastor David McGee. We can pray for them as well just by simply going to crossthebridge.com and click on the Pray for the Lost button. All you need to do is put in the first names of the people you love that need to know Jesus as Savior, click on Submit, and immediately hundreds of people will begin praying for your lost loved ones. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 7. Now, when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. I mean, that's David's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Verse 8, then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth-Rehob, Ishtob, and Mechah were by themselves in the field. And when Joab saw that the battle line was against him behind, before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. Now keep in mind, at this point, Joab's a wise soldier. Joab's been fighting a lot for a long time, for years. And he had experience. And so understand, you know what? You have battles in your life. Understand that. I have battles in my life. You have battles in your life that I don't know of. I have battles in my life that you're not aware of. But here's the thing. A lot of times we think, well, any confrontation, any battle, we got to run from it. But when we do that, we miss out on a blessing. Because as you work through issues, as you work through problems, there is a blessing. There is a benefit in that. The next life lesson: your battles give you needed life experience. Your battles give you needed life experience. See, because as you work through situations, as you work through circumstances, they strengthen you. That's why you should try to work through issues. Like, you know, if you've got an issue at work, try to work through that issue at work. There may not be a work through with that situation at work, and that you may get to the point where you have to change jobs or leave that job or whatever. But you should make every attempt to resolve that. Why? Well, it'll benefit the company and it'll benefit you as an individual. And if you just bail, you're going to miss out on the blessing. And that goes, you know, with leaving a workplace, with leaving a job. Also goes with leaving a church. Because a lot of times something or issue will come up with you or come up with a church. The church would benefit. You would benefit if you would sit with somebody in leadership and say, hey, I got this problem. Can you help me understand this? Why this is like that? You would benefit. Church would benefit. But what happens if you just bail? You miss out on the blessings. The church misses out on the blessings. And nobody benefits from it. Now, Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And what happens when iron sharpens iron is sparks fly. And that's kind of the relationship that we have with one another at times. The sparks are flying. And it's a good thing. It's not something to always be avoided. Verse 10, and the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Verse 11, then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. So they're helping one another. Again, that's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. We use this verse Sunday, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Somebody's weak in an area, maybe you're strong in that area. You can pray for them, you can help them, you can give them scriptures. Maybe you're weak in an area that they're strong with. And so we carry one another's burdens. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 12, be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Now, again, it's an important thing that everyone there was joining in the fight. Everyone there was joining in the fight. Why? Well, because everybody knew there was a fight going on. Here's the thing that I've noticed in this ministry, in this church. Early on, the needs of the ministry, the needs of the church, as far as people serving, they were really obvious. I mean, scarily obvious. You know, we had one couple that came in. The first time they ever, this is back when we were in the old building. First time they came into the nursery, and there was nobody in there. So that was the first thing they were like, oh, nobody's in the nursery, you know. And then the next thing that happened was the next family came and dropped their kids off to them. But what was really cool about this family is they said later, they some people would be, oh, this is horrible. Can't believe a church would act like this and be like this. And we'd been a church less than a year at that point. But you know what this couple said? They said, you know what? We realized right then there was a need in this body that we could help fill. What a neat way to look at it. Not what's in it for me, but what need could I help fill in the body of Christ? Do you understand? I know we have this consumer mentality today, but do you understand that's really how we should be approaching church life? Not what can the church do for me, but what can I do? Is there a need that I can help meet at the church? That's what if you were in the middle of a battlefield and somebody was sitting there and you said, hey, come on, let's do it. And they said, well, nah, I don't really feel led to fight. I'm just going to sit here and watch. I don't do that. I don't really say. That'd be horrible. And yet, some believers, some Christians, think that God somehow called them to the sidelines of the battlefield. I'm sorry, God doesn't call anybody to the sidelines of the battlefield. He calls you to the battle itself. And so, I encourage you, you know, whether it's this church or another church, see what kind of need that you can meet, because you're uniquely gifted and talented to meet some need in the body in some way. And what happens is we work together to further the cause of the kingdom. At verse 13, so Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. Remember, the Syrians were mercenaries. The battle starts, what do? They're out of there. Why? Well, because they're mercenaries. They're not the Ammonites. They're not the Israelites who have a vested interest in the battle going on. Verse 14, so when the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. You know why? Fear is contagious. You ever notice that? Fear is contagious, but so is courage. Courage is contagious. Bravery is contagious. I don't know if you've ever been to one of the Tell the Worlds. Tell the World is when we get together and when we go out, just what it is, and we tell people about Jesus. Now, some of you may go, oh, I just could never do that. But here's what happens. We meet. We go out two by two. Sometimes there's three people in a group. And because there's other people in the group, you know, you look across the street and somebody's knocking on the door to tell those people about Jesus and invite them to church. And somehow that emboldens you. I'm gonna tell these people about Jesus. Why? Because we encourage one another like that. And so that's a good thing that courage is contagious. Courage is courageous. That's a redundant department of redundancy there. All right, verse 15. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. Then Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobach, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. Now see, it's on now. I mean, this is a big battle. This is no longer just a small little thing. Then the Syrians fled before Israel. And David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians and struck Shobach, the commander of their army, who died there. When all the kings who were servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. The Syrians were fighting with the wrong crowd. They were fighting with Ammonites. The Ammonites had picked the fight. They had started it. They had done something wrong. And the Syrians, because of money, had joined themselves with the wrong crowd. Make sure, guys, make sure that you're joined with the right people for the right cause. Because if you get sucked in with the wrong people for the right cause, you will not be as effective in that cause. If you get in with the right people for the wrong cause, the best you can do is hope that you'll be ineffective because you're doing the wrong thing. Right people, right cause, can't go wrong. Go back to Psalm 1. Take it out another verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now here's an interesting thing. And it's not happenstance, because these chapters are side by side. Last week we looked at David extending kindness to Mephibosheth. And what was his response? His response was, you know what, I'm not deserving of this kindness. And I graciously accept the king's kindness towards me. This week we have, in the next chapter, in this chapter, we have Hunan, who has the same opportunity. Same exact situation. David sends servants to be kind to this man. But what was his response? To be unkind to these servants. Same situation, same king extending kindness and grace and mercy. Two totally different responses. And that's where we find ourselves tonight. Because there's a king much more glorious and powerful than David that tonight has extended his kindness to us. What will our response be? As I sit up here and I proclaim God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love, will it be your response to shame God's messenger? Maybe leave here and talk about what I did wrong or how I didn't say this right or I went too long or not long enough or you didn't like the fact I didn't have a suit on or whatever? Or will your response be, you know what, I'm undeserving of this mercy that comes from the king. I know I'm not worthy to be forgiven of the things I've done, but somehow he still is willing to extend to me mercy and grace. What's your choice? Do you want to be like Mephibosheth and say, yes, you know what? I'll come to the king's table. Thank you for the invitation. I'm not worthy to be invited to this table. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I gladly accept. Or will you be like Hunan and shame God's servant? My prayer for a lot of people here is that you accept the kindness of the king. Because friend, again, when you reject the kindness of the king, you're not rejecting me. You're not rejecting whoever, whenever they present this kindness to you. You're rejecting the king himself, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, who died for you.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience his shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.